Welcome to Mission Sunlight Chat from the Media Missionaries of Network 7 Media Center. We're here in our studio in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We're delighted to be with you. And as we've been on the road for several weeks, you've probably seen some of those episodes as they play out through the months. We're glad that we're going to be sharing with one of our friends here in the local Chattanooga area. My name is Christopher Beeson. Your Director of Production and Engineering downline is Jordan Wagner. And Verlene Starr, who is a retired business professional professor from Southern Adventist University and other areas and other places you've worked and been a part of in various communities. We're going to talk a little bit about that and what that means to be a prof and what it means to be retired. Verlene, thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
I want to just remind you, Mission Sunlight Chat is a nonprofit Christian media production. If you want to know more about us, you can visit us at missionsunlight.org. You can give there. You can click donate. Of course, you can always call or text us at 423-855-4877. And you can email us at hello@missionsunlight.org. We appreciate you and however you feel led to connect with us. One final thing. We want to share the story of Jesus. We want to invite you to share the stories of Jesus as you hear them shared here. So be sure to take Mission Sunlight to your social media, text it, email it to anybody you like, share. Click the share button where you are. Mission Sunlight Chat today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Again, our guest is Verlene Starr. Verlene, full disclosure, you have been a board member of our governing organization, Network 7 Media Center, for a number of years. I don't even know if I can say how long, but probably close to 7 or 8 years.
Probably.
Maybe a little longer. And you and I connected probably early on when I was in my business program at Southern Adventist University. At least I can recall. I don't know that I had you as a teacher, but I definitely saw you in the hallways as I was getting my my degree in leadership and management several years ago. And then we connected again through ASI, the Adventist Lay Organization, and you worked with me and our team at ASI for several years in some of the programming that we did. So you and I go kind of back and forth, and of course, Jordan being part of the Mission Sunlight and Network 7 team, we've worked together at various times. Thank you for being a part of this program today. Would you begin us with a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, every thought that we have and every word that we speak, we want to represent your love.
Amen.
We want to be in connection through the power of the Holy Spirit with the plans that you have for each of us. And so we thank you for being with us today and for touching our lives. Amen.
Amen. I mentioned you recently retired, but you've been a business professor. But you didn't come to either one of those automatically. You had a childhood. You grew up. You've had some experiences in life. Tell us a little bit about your early years.
Our lives in childhood are shaped by the experiences that our parents give to us. Mm-hmm. We really don't have a lot of choice about those. And when I was 2, until the time I was 8, my parents served in the Philippines. My parents had both, during college when they met and married, decided that that's what they would like to do someday. Mm-hmm. And it happened to open for them to go to the Philippines. They pioneered a school there. And so there were lots of unusual experiences whenever you're pioneering anything, which is now Mountain View College. But those years, at that time, when your parents went as missionaries, you didn't come home every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You were there for 6 years.
That's where you lived.
That's where you lived, and you stayed, and it was just, part of our life. The experience there and my parents' love for the mission work remained a part of the fabric of our home because they talked about the Philippines. They maintained relationships with Filipinos, and they donated a lot to help people go through school and so forth. So that was just kind of the fabric of our home. Another incident after we came home from the Philippines that I have never forgotten was we went to a county fair. And, of course, we looked at all the 4-H animals. We looked at a variety of things that were there. I remember riding the Ferris wheel till my sister got sick. But we went to, and walking through there, there was a place that these machines where you put in, probably at that time, pennies or nickels or dimes, I don't know, and you could get some little toy out of it. I spied something that I wanted very badly. And at first my dad said no. And then he said, well, maybe. And he put in some things and he missed the target and I didn't get it. And so once he was into it, he started it. He went on and finished it. And I got the little trinket. But as we walked away, he looked at me and he said, never again.
Oh.
I didn't understand what that meant for a long time.
Okay.
But to him, that had been a form of wasting the income that God had given him.
Mm.
And, you know, he probably paid more than what if he'd gone to the dime store and bought it for me. But anyway, so that just shaped my life, those experiences of dedication to mission and then that little experience at the fair. Another perhaps icon Bible verse mm-hmm. from my childhood that my dad often repeated was in Proverbs 22:1, that a good name is better than rubies and better than riches. And he just emphasized how important it was for us to walk the straight and narrow and develop a good character and a good reputation so that people could trust you. So those are kind of some hallmarks from my younger childhood. In my teenage years, when I was attending a private academy, Indiana Academy, which is where we were at the time, my dad let me go to work at a trucking company, if you can imagine. And he warned me beforehand. He said, you're going to hear a lot of things that you've probably never heard before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was true. There were stories and there was language and there were lots of things that But he didn't stop us from having experiences in life
mm-hmm.
that exposed us to an element of society that he had hoped, and it did, would engender in our hearts a desire to reach those people
mm-hmm.
and to be who you were from a Christian perspective. So those are some things that shaped my earlier life. When I went to college at Andrews University, I had no qualms with my faith, with my belief, but it was during my freshman year, the second part of my freshman year, that some friends said, hey, let's go see Dr. Zhivago. Now, at that time, the general feeling in the church was that you didn't go to movie theaters, right?
Sure, sure.
And we had not gone at home, so this was a first. And certainly Dr. Zhivago's story that story is beautiful. The music is beautiful. And that's one of the things that attracted me to that was the music. But after we went, I remember feeling so bad about that, which now when I reflect on that, I think, well, that was kind of silly. But that's where I was. And I thought, wow, did I morally violate something? Have I messed up my salvation? And for a while, I kind of stopped going to church. You didn't have to. There was nothing that told you that you had to go to church at that time. And so that was a low point in my spiritual life, and certainly a point at which I thought, I've got to be able to define my own faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the spring of that year. I take that back. That was actually not until the fall of my sophomore year that Morris Vanden came and spoke for a week of prayer. It was a phenomenal week of prayer. I only remember that his message, and actually his message throughout the 70s, he was maybe sort of a forerunner in preaching about Jesus and about grace and about love. And that just struck my heart. And I knew then that I would always be a Seventh-day Adventist, that I would always study, that I would always know who Jesus was and how my life fit into his plans
Amen.
For me. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, where I was.
So you did have a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a crisis of faith, but you definitely checked yourself and said, okay, this is my decision, not my parents anymore. This is
Absolutely.
Me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Now, I know that you've got a couple of boys. And I know that you have a pretty nice husband. I've met them all. So tell us a little bit about how your family came together.
Well, when I left college, well, probably another interesting factor when we talk about careers here, I started college as a business major because I'd had that experience in the trucking firm. I really liked it. I thought, this is what I want to do. I was into the second year of accounting, and I was struggling academically with that class.
And me both.
And I didn't realize at the time, and, you know, for whatever reason, teachers are not all perfect. Academic advisors, I don't even think we had academic advisors at that time. But I didn't recognize that what I was really good at and what I liked about business was the management aspect of it. And that I could organize and I could plan, and those were things that I enjoyed. But I had some suite mates that were English majors. And they were laughing over books they were reading and stories they were reading. And I thought, well, they're having a whole lot more fun in college than I am when I'm on the other side of the wall trying to study this accounting. So anyway, I switched then to an English major, and which was fine. I kind of still ponder why in the world I did that. But then I went to teach. And it was at Adelphian Academy where I taught in Holly, Michigan. And that's where I met Wayne. And then we were married. What would be a good segue here? I taught there until our oldest son was born, and then stayed home. Our second son was born, and didn't go back to work for several years. And then I went to work at a community college. And that English degree was very valuable to them. So that was not a bad thing. And then after teaching at the community college, we moved down here in 97. And so then I thought, this is my opportunity. Sure. I'm going back to school and I'm going to get that MBA.
Good for you.
So that's what I did. And then as events would happen, and I think as the Lord ordained it, there was an opening, and they hired me at Southern to teach in the School of Business. Right. So that's where you picked up and knew me there.
Right. And just want to clarify something to you. As I was speaking earlier, I mentioned my degree in leadership and management. Basically, what they had at the time that I was working on my master's at Southern was a master's for church leaders to come in and basically get their MBA, but it was an emphasis on church and religion.
Correct.
So it was a lot of the MBA program. I tell people I have an MBA in religion. So it's the most clear way I can describe the degree. They don't even carry that degree at the university anymore. They've cleaned it up, and it's in a different form now.
Right.
But at the time, it was called a master's in church leadership and management, essentially a lot of the MBA programs, which is why I joked about the accounting. You and I have a mutual friend in Dr. Gadd, and somehow Dr. Gadd miraculously helped me get better than a passing grade. I got a B in it, and I don't know how that happened, but that and my tutor, I was blessed.
Well, and maturity makes a difference, too, because when I came back to accounting in the MBA program, you know, it was more clear to me than it had been when
You've
I
You've done a few things.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. That's right. So,
all right, Verlene, we're going to take a break for just a moment. A reminder that you can connect with us at missionsunlight.org. You can learn more. Remember, that's S-O-N, Sunlight, missionsunlight.org. And you can give there, of course, shoot us an email, hello@missionsunlight.org. Text us, 423-855-4877. We'll be back in a moment with more Mission Sunlight Chat.
Being a media missionary can mean many different things.
It means the love of a home at the heart of the planet, the intrepid spirit of a village, and the vibe of a great metropolis. It means camera one and camera two. It means transforming a school, orphanage, or hospital. It means fire, rain, ice, and snow. It means gifts by the dollar and by the check. It means donations that roll and donations that fly. It's a movement on a trail or down a motorway.
It means family.
All of us together.
And individually.
It's who you are, or who you are becoming. And to her, It's a simple gesture that means hope. Whatever it means to you, being a media missionary means more than you might think.
Welcome back to Mission Sunlight Chat. Our guest today, Verlene Starr. Verlene, thank you so much for coming in. You got us to the point of being a professor at Southern Adventist University. Tell us a little bit about that, because you had been in business, had some business experience as a young adult, spent time teaching. How many years teaching in English? Do you recall, just roughly?
Roughly, yes.
About a decade. Mm-hmm. And then now you're, it's the late 90s, and you have an opportunity to earn your MBA and then to teach. What was that like?
Well, I was excited.
Teaching. In business.
Yes, I was excited. Ironically, when we had visited here in the early 90s, and we were driving out, and I saw those columns, the pillars that are at the front of Wright Hall at Southern, and the overwhelming impression came upon me that someday you will teach here. And like Sarah in the Old Testament,
you chuckled to yourself.
We're living in Michigan. This is ridiculous. We're happy, you know. So even then, you know, God gave me a little vision. And when that actually happened, I thought, wow. So I wasn't afraid to apply. I wasn't afraid to teach, because I felt like God had ordained that in my mind several years earlier. I love the students. And you want to see them succeed so badly that you put your heart and soul into that. Mm-hmm. And you spend extra hours to try to get them to accomplish their goals. So I very much enjoyed my time at Southern and enjoyed teaching, enjoyed working on committees and planning and so forth. So it was a very good experience until I retired in 2016. So that's been a long time since I retired, right?
Has it been 9 years?
Yes, it has been.
Well, you were still teaching when you and I connected, so it must have been close to a decade ago.
Yes.
That we did some ASI work together.
Yes, yes. So I was actually at Southern for 17 years, 16 okay. years. Yeah, yes. So 17 years by the from the time I started in 99. That's right. And then you're faced with, how long do I keep doing this? Mm-hmm. How long do I keep teaching? And you don't want to wait until they're ready to say, oh, I wish she would have left. You want to leave when you're a little ahead of the game. And so I did that in 2016. A person whom I knew gave me some advice. She said, when you retire, make sure you do something to replace the social fabric that's part of your job. And when you have a position at an organization, there are Christmas parties, there mm-hmm. are, mm-hmm. you know, birthday celebrations, there's events that you attend because you're part of that organization. And she said, all of that's going to be gone. You're not going to get invited to any of that stuff. Right. Do something to replace the social fabric that's of your life. And that was just the greatest advice. She also said, don't throw everything away, at least for a year. So I did. I saved a lot of things in boxes for a year. But now, and since retirement, there have been lots of opportunities to invest myself and Wayne and I together in various events. One of them that's fresh that we just did is go to the Pathway to Health event that was in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And we saw, not we individually, but the group, there were about 2,000 volunteers who delivered over 7,000 services to people who came. And they're not all people just off the street. Some of them have jobs, but they don't have health or dental or vision insurance.
And so you saw thousands of people there.
Yes, yes. So it was really, really an experience. And you're there for a whole mm-hmm. week. And to be involved in that was just a powerful experience. And I would encourage anybody, when you're thinking about retirement, you know, think about how you can serve. Think about how you can And you don't have to go somewhere. You can look at places in your community. One of the things I did until COVID, and when they stopped it, was volunteer with a couple other ladies at Chattanooga Room in the Inn, and where we made contact with several women. There are, yet today, there are still two that we keep in touch with, and one of them very closely. In fact, we're going to take her to lunch tomorrow to celebrate her birthday.
Okay.
So there are ways to be involved in your community, and of course there's ways to be involved in your church. And
serving on the board of a ministry is one of the ways.
Yes, I should add that. I should have added that first. I would say another thing that we have been intentional about is guarding our spiritual life, attending camp meetings or other spiritual retreats.
And you have more time for some of that. You can add to what you've done previously because you don't have the competition of, well, work doesn't allow me to, or I'm busy on this day or that day.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly. We've attended marriage retreats, not because our marriage was in trouble, but because when you get encouragement or you get, it's just bolsters.
Right. Well, it adds to that social fabric you were talking about. But
yes.
There's also opportunities for you to perhaps at those kind of marriage retreats, if you will, there are opportunities to encourage other young
Absolutely.
Or middle-aged married.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And some people like you who have, you know, blended a family, that is an important part of growing too.
Yeah.
So I would say that the apple of your eye, though, is if you have children and if you have grandchildren, spend time with them. Mm. Invest in that relationship. It's just a beautiful thing, beautiful thing. Our oldest grandson is 24. He still calls up, talks to me, and I thought, I'm not sure when I was 24 that I called up and talked to my grandmother. So, you know, invest in them. Invest time.
Well, in your defense, you know, communication wasn't quite as readily available as it is now.
That's
literally
right.
In our back pocket all the time.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Are you a texter? Do you text back and
forth
with the grandkids?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yes. And since we have iPhones, since they converted us, now there's, you know, opportunity to look at each other. So
sure.
Anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, one of the reasons why I ask you to be on the program, as you know, but I want to share with our listeners and viewers, is because you do have a new audience to speak to through retirement. One of my personal burdens is I like to tell people I retired when I was 34 years old and I started Network 7 Media Center to have something to do. But really, when you leave the professional field and your email goes blank and your phone stops ringing, there is a sense of loss. There is a grief that comes with that. And retirees often, as I've matured and talked with them, with various retirees, there's that sense of grief. There's that sense of loss. And I think your friend's advice of replacing the social fabric is something that I was missing in my own mind. I would tell them, get busy, find another ministry to be involved with part-time. Mm-hmm. You have done that with some of the things you've mentioned and even one you haven't mentioned. I know you're active with one of our large ministries here helping with the front desk. So what I have told some of those retirees is don't just sit around and do nothing.
That's right.
Don't warm up your couch and become a couch potato. Your health is going to break down. Stay active.
That's right.
Find some really enjoy physical activity. They're walkers or even runners, or they go to their local gym, and gym memberships are so easy. They may be down in the mouth about gyms because when they could afford to do gyms, they never went, but now they've got time. Maybe they could pick that up. There are various things. Don't just sit around those.
That's right. I would absolutely say that.
Yeah.
And there's so much that can be done in your local church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are
yes.
places for you to be used there, and God has a place for everybody who is willing to step out and do that.
Not everybody is an entrepreneur. You may have been in business, or you may have been in the working class, but maybe you weren't running the thing. Maybe you're not an entrepreneur. Find a way to connect in a ministry that's already going.
That's right.
And on the flip side, if you are an entrepreneur, find a way to entrepreneur some work in the church, some vacuum that needs to be filled.
Absolutely.
Maybe it's not your niche, but you can help find people to help fill that niche.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That
yes.
needs leadership. Like you were talking about, you enjoy the organizational side, regardless of whether you enjoy the specific field or not.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So I wanted to speak to retirees specifically with that thought today. And our listeners and viewers may or may not be retirees, but they probably know someone who is and may need an encouraging word, and they can share this program or at least these ideas from this program with them as well.
I might just add that one of the things that's always been enjoyable to me is music. And I'm an amateur pianist. I play for my own enjoyment, but I ended up directing all the music, planning and organizing all the music for our church for over 10 years since I retired. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of time, but it's very, very enjoyable.
Fulfilling for you.
Very fulfilling.
Satisfying. Good. We're going to come back and talk just a little bit as we wrap up today's program. We hope you are being encouraged by the program today, and we hope that you will share your encouragement with others. Of course, you can connect with us, missionsunlight.org. Text us, 423-855-4877. Click that share button. Let someone else know that you're listening. We'll be back in a moment with more Mission Sunlight Chat.
Our salvation is a day-to-day matter, isn't it?
The real principle of the Sabbath is reconnecting ourselves with the Creator.
We must learn to abide in Jesus now.
We move ahead with our mission objectives, recognizing that we are serving together the Most High God.
Welcome back to Mission Sunlight Chat. Our guest today has been Verlene Starr. Verlene, thanks so much for being here. As I mentioned, you were a professor. I didn't know that you'd been a professor of English, so I learned something new about you. And a professor of business at Southern Adventist University recently, not recently, but for me, you know, in my big picture, it just seems like you retired a couple of years ago, but you have learned to fill that vacuum of time of retirement. And Jordan, during the break, we were just talking about one of the challenges of not just for retirees, but families in general because of the pandemic.
Yeah, as we've gotten away from COVID, people got disconnected during COVID, and they've struggled to reconnect with their community. And I'm sure that it's similar in the retired community as well, as they have come out of it. Mm-hmm. They've gotten used to being alone, and they may not know how to reach out to other people. And so just getting that connection is important.
And it's easy to be alone and still be filled because there's so much online. Mm-hmm. There's so many things available that you can just sit there and vegetate and watch.
Right.
Yeah. So keeping activity in your life is important for your physical health.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Verlene, I'm wondering if you have anything that you'd like to share as an encouraging word to our audience today.
Yes, one of the quotes that I recently have written down, and I don't journal every day, but frequently. And
there comes the English professor.
This is a quote from the book Our High Calling. Then it's on Thursday, March 27. The book is organized by dates because it's designed to be a devotional. Either the evil angels or the angels of God are controlling the minds of men. So we don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. It's one, I mean, we do have a choice. It's one or the other. There's no neutral. We can't choose neutral. Our minds are given to the control of God or to the control of the powers of darkness. And it will be well for us to inquire where we stand today. Mm. And every day, I think that's important to say, Lord, I am here. I want to be controlled by your spirit, by your goodness, by your grace. One of my favorite verses is Hebrews 13:15 says to continually offer the sacrifice of praise. And when that verse first hit me, and of course I've read it many times, but it never had just struck my heart. I thought, what in the world is a sacrifice of praise? Mm-hmm. And I realized in studying that, and it's many places other in the scriptures, Jeremiah uses that phrase, Hosea uses that phrase, mm-hmm. David uses that phrase in the Psalms. So the sacrifice of praise means that there will be difficult times when we may not feel like praising God, mm-hmm. but to continually have our minds focused and filled with thoughts of heaven and thoughts of Christ, that is a sacrifice, even though sometimes we don't feel like it.
Right.
So, and one other verse that I just love, I've mentioned that I love music, and Zephaniah 3:17.
Okay.
God says, I exalt over you with, and I rejoice over you with gladness and with singing. And just the thought that God writes a symphony for me. And whatever experience I'm in life, wherever I'm sharing, whatever I'm experiencing, that God writes this symphony of music for me.
Amen. Amen. Rebecca and I were reading this morning about our responsibility. The question was asked in our devotional reading, what have you done? This was in God's voice. What have you done with the salvation that I have given you?
Mm.
And never thought of it that way. What have I done with the salvation? The point in this particular quote, I'm sure there's different ways we could take that, but the point in this particular quote was, I have shared with you the most marvelous gift.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sharing it with others? Or are you squandering it on selfishness? Are you just saying, well, I'm saved and that's good?
Yeah.
Or are you making sure that every moment is spent in sharing that for with others in whatever way you do it, whether it's active or whether it's passive? There are ways to minister in our everyday. Yeah.
That's correct.
We sometimes forget we have ways we can praise God even when the storm is upon us.
That's right.
And even when we may be lonely, talking about the loneliness of, of retirement or the loneliness of post-COVID or any of that.
And the sacrifice is that you're willing to praise God despite the attacks that Satan may be giving you.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Verlaine, let's wrap this episode up with a word of prayer.
Sure.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we've had to talk about how you've led Verlaine and her family through her career, but also her retirement, and encouraged them to find ways to get involved. I thank you that you use each of us, Lord, even in spite of ourselves sometimes. You put us in situations that we can witness to others and tell them about your love for them, and that there's a path to salvation for them. And I pray that you'll help us to remember that in all of our interactions, that the people we're interacting with are your children and that you love them and you want to spend forever with them. Lord, if there's somebody listening right now that doesn't have a relationship with you, I pray that you'll reach out to them, that your spirit will touch them and let them know that you love them and you'll draw them close to you, and help those of us that need a reminder to reach out to our neighbors and our friends, that they may be lonely and they may not know to ask for help, or they may not know how to rejoin the community, especially after they were separated from their community. Be with each of us as we look for those ways to be involved and guide our paths. In your name, amen.
Amen. Yeah. Verlaine, thank you for being a guest today. Jordan, thank you for your hand on the production side of things, and thank you to our listeners and viewers who are listening and viewing today. We appreciate you. Keep in mind, we appreciate your prayers and know that we are also praying for you. That is today's program from the Media Missionaries of Network 7 Media Center. I'm Christopher Beeson, your host. As I said, we are grateful for you, and we want to invite you to share Mission Sunlight Chat through text, emails, on your social media platforms, whatever way you choose to. And you can connect with us as you reach out to us in those various communication ways. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear your program ideas. Maybe there's a guest you'd like to hear from. Whatever way you connect with us, we are praying for you. Thank you so much for being a part of our Mission Sunlight audience. That is all for today's program. This is Mission Sunlight Chat.
This has been a Beeson Brook production in association with Network 7 Media Center. Executive producers, Christopher and Rebecca Beeson, Roddy Scarborough, Don and Nancy Van Ornum, Verlaine and Wayne Starr. Associate producers, Jordan and Ashley Wagner, Gary and Dina Bartle Wagner. Your host today, Christopher Beeson. Director of production and audio engineer, Jordan Wagner. To suggest guests, topic questions, to pray with us, or to give, visit missionsunlight.org or text us at 423-855-4877. You may write to us at Network 7 Media Center, Box 25468, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37422. This has been a production of Network 7 Media Center.